Welcome back to The Weekender on Y95.
So joined now by the mayor of the town of Yarmouth, Pam Mood. Mayor Mood, thank you for being here. Good morning.
Always my pleasure.
Want to talk a little bit about 2022 and a look back on this year. What are some of the things that the town's accomplished, that council's accomplished, that you're going to look back on and say, wow, this was a great year for us here?
Well, I'll start by saying that in my 10 years, this is probably the best year for accomplishing projects, getting things done. You know, you start with the return of the ferry, which means the ferry terminal has to be done. We got phase one up and running at the tune of, you know, $10 million, but that was all levels of government. So that's done, ready for phase two. You know, the active transportation trail is top of mind for this council. Not just for physical, but for mental health. So we've connected one end of town with the other. It's wide, everything from scooters, runners, walkers, you know, baby carriages, all that stuff. Everybody belongs on that trail. The response we're getting is phenomenal. Gosh, the list is long. You know, we had some great, great accomplishments with regard to the downtown and winning awards. And I mean national awards, which means you know, it's not always just about the award. It's about the attention you get. And we know that the more people that are here, the more taxes that come in, the more projects we can do. So, you know, we're all about drawing folks to the area. We think we have the best quality of life here, of course. So, you know, people are coming in. I would say one of my highlights is that the population went up almost 5%. And if I put that into perspective, our population in Yarmouth hasn't gone up since the early 1990s. So this is huge. That's hundreds of more people that are finding Yarmouth home. They can go anywhere in the world they want to be, and they choose here. So we're doing everything right. We're setting the table. My goodness, you know, the list really is long. The accessibility piece that, you know, the team got up and running is tremendously important. By 2030, we have to have that all, you know, laid out. So the accessibility committee is up and going. Just lots of things.
Mm-hmm. Want to ask you as well, when you look back on 2022, we saw that announcement at Mariner Center in October. Will you look at that moment as, okay, this is where we're starting here, this is where we're going with Mariner Center?
Yeah, and I would say, you know, if I had to draw a list, I think that would be number one. This is by far the largest project that Yarmouth County municipalities have ever tackled. To get that amount of funding for something that the community has been screaming for, you know, we need it, certainly. And again, I go back not just to physical, but mental health for everyone. So when that funding came through, it was just, okay, let's get this moving. You know, credit to everyone that put everything on the table, that came together, had the discussions. And frankly, we couldn't have done this without the best chair. And that's the deputy warden of Argyle, Nicole Albright, and she's just been tremendous with keeping everybody in the loop and making those connections.
And looking ahead to 2023, what are some priorities you're looking at right away?
Woohoo! I just want to, you know, let's keep on the roll. We got so much done this year. So, you know, we have to kind of hit the reset button and see, you know, what is it we want to tackle? I know for me, and I know council's with me on this, the waterfront is really, really important. There's so much potential down there. We remember always that it's a working waterfront, and we respect, you know, the fishers, which give us, you know, this economy. They make the economy go round. So respecting that piece and the businesses that are down there, you know, what else can we do with that waterfront? You know, try to connect more trails, work more on the Mariner Center, get that accessibility up and running. And then let's put that aside and tackle some of the issues that are, let's call it what it is, provincially mandated. We've got healthcare, which is mental health again. I mean, I don't have to say to anybody what's happened in this community in that regard. Is there something we can do at our level, even though it's not ours to bear It's our people. We see these folks face to face. If there's something we can do, we can't, we will. And housing. I mean, with more people, we need more housing. And what is it we can do at this level? It's not a municipal job to find housing, but how can we, you know, work towards more? What kind of plan can we get in place? And we've always done that. We just have to really dig in and figure this piece out. So lots on the slate, lots on the slate.
And it's been a busy month for holiday celebrations as well. I want to ask you about the New Year's levy. I saw there was a post there today about that. That's coming up on January 1st.
It is. We are inviting everyone from the whole region, so it doesn't matter where you live, come on into Town Hall from 11 till 1 on New Year's Day. We'll have live music, lots of great food, and actually people will actually be serving it, so that's even a bonus. You know, it's a great way to ring in the new year. It's a wonderful tradition. You know, council will be there, some staff, you know, meet your neighbors, meet some people in the neighborhood. And it's just a great way to start off the year. So we're excited about that. 11 till 1 on New Year's Day at Town Hall.
Mayor Mood, thank you. And I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and holiday season and all the best in the new year.
The same to you always.
So joined now by the MP for West Nova, Chris D'Entremont. Good morning, MP D'Entremont. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Now, of course, we're looking back on 2022. It was an eventful year for you, becoming, you know, a deputy speaker of the House, one of the first Nova Scotians to hold that title, first ever Acadian, but first Nova Scotians to hold that title since the, you know, the early in the last century. So having that title and carrying forward this year, what's that meant to you?
Well, it's trying to find the balance between sort of the highly political world that we sort of live in. You know, MPs tend to, you know, of course, belong to a political party, try to espouse the rules or the platforms of those groups, the philosophies of those groups. So what I found was I was sort of a good questioner in question period. And, you know, I can be a very partisan political person if I want to be, but, you know, quite honestly, trying to find the new role, trying to find that balance between representing your constituents, trying to be nonpartisan, trying to work with other ministers and trying to get projects done for our area. You know, so it was a bit of a learning curve through the last few months. But, you know, I think we achieved a number of things that of course, I'm very happy with.
And for you, you mentioned this to me before, but this speaker role has opened you up kind of to more conversations with ministers and MPs and things like that. So, and you mentioned like getting projects done in this area is another big aspect of it too. So has this new role helped you branch out even more in government?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if we look at the project for the Mariner Center, I mean, that came with a lot of discussion with Minister LeBlanc, and that would only really have happened since I've been a minister or the deputy speaker of the House of Commons. You know, working with ministers is something that, you know, a backbench MP doesn't get to do quite often. You know, notoriety in that house comes from different reasons. I mean, some of it comes from being ministers, being leaders. The backbench tends to have a much harder time trying to make that happen. The deputy speaker one has lined us up for a number of different things. You know, even if I look back at the fishery stuff that we've talked about over the last number of years, or at least since I collected in 2019. Working with the minister directly, I think, has helped. Working with the parliamentary secretary has helped. You know, we haven't solved the issue completely of what's going on in St. Mary's Bay, but I would suggest that it was much calmer over the last number of months, over this last summer. And that's only because, you know, community did a good job. Indigenous communities have done a good job. I worked really hard with the minister to make her understand those things. So I think being in these positions sometimes, you know, have a better effect than, you know, taking offense to something in the House of Commons or asking a question or being, you know, super partisan. Sometimes you need to find ways to roll up your sleeves and work together.
For you personally and for your party, when you look back on 2022, what are some of the highlights for you?
Well, ultimately, it's, you know, getting a new leader elected. you know, slowly getting Mr. Poilievre out and about around the country. It's a big country to try to get to know, you know, so I get to play a little bit of that partisan side of things. You know, Pierre was able to come to New Brunswick. He was in Newfoundland. He did a short jaunt through Nova Scotia. You know, we're working hard to try to get him known. That was an absolute highlight that we could move on, rally behind a new leader, and continue to, you know, continue to advocate for, you know, Canadians, for their pocketbooks, talking about their bank accounts, talking about the challenges we're going to have in affordability over the next number of months. You know, and I think that focus has given us a whole bunch of wind in our wings to try to talk about those things for Canadians.
And coming up in 2023, I know inflation obviously is top of mind, like you said. So many issues with that, surrounding that. What's the big focus for you and your party as you head into the new year?
Well, I think the focus will continue to be about affordability. You know, trying to find ways to make the government understand that, you know, every time they make a decision that ends up costing more in tax or in carbon tax or something else, that there's a real repercussion for people in ridings like West Nova. You know, whether you're for a carbon tax or against a carbon tax, you can understand that the idea of it, I think in its purest form, is to try to change the habits of Canadians, so they don't drive as much, so they don't heat their houses as much, so they don't do these things that, of course, create carbon, that create, you know, you need to burn a fossil fuel in order to do that. What I think some of these things that the government doesn't catch on to is that we don't necessarily have a bus service that can get us places. We don't have transit. We don't have trains. So people have to get into their cars. They have to drive 30 minutes or 40 minutes or 50 minutes to get to their place of employment. So some of these decisions that they make will have long-term effects on the affordability of those families. So we need to find ways to work with them. And it's not good enough to say, well, you know, because of the program that we have or the backstop, let's say, in carbon tax that we have, you know, they get back, or, you know, most Canadians get back more money than what they pay. Well, it's our philosophy that it's best to leave that money in the pockets of Canadians and let them make spending decisions on what they're doing with those dollars. So we need to do a lot more work on that to try to explain to Canadians that, yes, we're for the environment, but this is not an environmental plan. This is simply a taxation plan that in the end has created no results. So, you know, we're going to have to do a lot more work in and around that one.
West Nova MP Chris D'Entremont has been our guest this morning. Thank you so much for joining us, and we wish you a happy holiday season and all the best in the new year.
Well, Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everyone, and hopefully get to see them over the break, you know, whether we're out and about around the grocery store or shopping local, you know, making sure we're doing all those great things. But, you know, I wish everybody a happy and fruitful 2023.
The Weekender will return in a moment.